Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
What if I told you that cancer isn't the end of your story, but the beginning of a life reimagined? I'm Zoraida Morales, a certified transformational nutrition coach, a certified cancer coach, and I'm a cancer thriver. When we embrace our scars, we unlock designs of resilience, purpose, and renewed craft, not by default, but by conscious, courageous choice. Welcome to Life by Design, Not Default. Why do I feel so deeply pulled to help over 2 million people diagnosed with cancer each year? My why is simple. In November 2008, while at my dream job, I was diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia, a blood cancer, and I didn't know where to turn. And I felt completely alone. And I was flooded with fear and anger and anxiety, especially anger. Because that diagnosis cracked everything open for me. But in that loneliness, something sacred began to rise. A quiet knowing that there had to be more than surviving, because I wanted to thrive. And that's when I began to rebuild from the inside out. Over time, I created what I now call the three pillars of nutrition: the mental, physical, and spiritual. And this is the foundation that I teach today. Because the mental pillar helped me process emotions with tools like meditation and breathwork, journaling, Reiki, sound healing. I love sound healing. The physical pillar grounded me with whole foods, nourishment, movement, and rest. And then the spiritual pillar, now that one changed everything for me, and I'll tell you more. It taught me devotion to myself, to community, and to something greater than myself. This isn't just a program. It's a pathway to transformation. What helped you? Will help you. Will help me. I'm sorry, will help you. You are not alone, because you were never meant to do this alone. This is your invitation to reimagine what your life could be like, not just post-cancer, but fully alive, to live by design, to thrive on purpose. I invite you to walk this chapter with me. Let's rise. Let's transform. Let's thrive. You know, I remember getting this diagnosis, and the hematologist, who I've never met before, because you don't have a hematologist on your contacts list, telling me that I had cancer. And I looked at her and I said, "You have the wrong chart in front of you. Look again." And I think she thought I was going to hit her. I know at that point I wanted to. And she said, no, you have chronic myeloid leukemia. And I've scheduled you for a bone marrow biopsy on Monday. Now, this is a doctor I've never met. And so I get in my car and it's raining and the rain is pelting the car. And I call my husband and I said, you're not going to believe this, but I was just told I have cancer. And he worked in New York and we lived in New Jersey. So by the time he got home, I had already picked up our two small children, 3 and 6 years old. We gave each other a big hug, but we knew it wasn't time to talk about it because we had two children to get to bed. So now we can spend time together. And so when my children went to sleep, we spoke about it and we cried about it. And we held each other all night. And on Monday, I had the bone marrow biopsy. And in hindsight, I should have gotten a second opinion. Not that that was going to change anything, but it's what I always recommend to my clients now. Because you want to be sure. Just wanted my old life back, you see? I wasn't making that mindset shift. That I had cancer and I had to live differently. But I just wanted my old life back. So I just kept asking, what do I need to do? Bone marrow biopsy? Okay, done. Chemo? Done. You know, I was running on the fumes that I was familiar with in my childhood. A childhood born into generational poverty, born into generational trauma, living in the South Bronx of New York City, born in the 1960s. It was the only way I knew how to be. I mean, I saw my mom go to school, to college for 10 years at night. With four children and a job during the day. And this was during the 70s and the 80s, so she can get us out of poverty. So that's what I saw. I didn't have a religious background. My mother's agnostic. So she was my God. And in my household, the mind and the ego are the leaders. Nobody cares about your heart. So now I had to make a conscious choice. I had to make the heart the leader and the mind and ego to follow and support because I was never going to get through this. Because the mind and the ego want to get things done, they want to protect. They didn't want to feel. But you know what? I was scheduled to go back to college and I had already paid $15,000. So I said, I'm going. And during the first year of my treatment, that's what I did. But then I had an epiphany because I found myself arguing with a professor about a C plus. A C plus, because I got all A's and B's. And I had one C plus, but it wasn't the C plus that I really wanted. It was control. I wanted control, and I didn't know how to get it. It's kind of tough to think about it now. But I know at that moment, I was so angry. Angry at God. I was angry at everyone and everything. Why is this happening to me? Didn't realize it at the time that it was happening for me. that there were lessons here I needed to learn. You know, when you get a cancer diagnosis, you don't realize it, but your traumas and your limiting beliefs, they come up to the surface. And that's what you're relying on if you don't make that mindset shift. And so making the mind and the ego support and follow the heart means that the heart makes the decisions. It means I listen to my intuition. It means I listen to my heart. I'll ask my mind and my ego for their opinion, but basically, the heart makes all the decisions. And that worked for a little while, right? I had no idea that I had to continue on this journey. So now, I go back to school. I decide I'm going to take a break, and it was time for me to get some mental health. Mental health. And I broke down, and that was my second breakdown. Had a lot of hypnotherapists, a lot of therapy. During that time was when I decided, or when I realized, I am going to help people. Because you know what? People were asking me to walk others through it, because by now I'm taking chemo for 13 years. And so my sister calls and she says, would you speak to someone who knows someone whose daughter just got diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia? And I say, yes. And I get on Zoom with the mom, because now it's the beginning of COVID. And she is distraught. She doesn't know how to help herself. She doesn't know how to help her child. And I let her speak, and I let her speak. And at the end of that conversation, she thanks me. And I tell her, here's what I recommend you do. Now, all I did was listen to her. I said, I'm going to tell you 7 things that I suggest you do. 1, take that deep breath, because you're going to realize that you're not breathing and you're going to need to breathe. 2, get a second and a third opinion. 3, get a coach, get a cancer coach. Now, at this time, I had never heard of a cancer coach. I don't know where those words came from. 4, up-level your food nutrition. You know, if you're having 8 Cokes a day, make it 7. But start inviting whole foods into your nutrition program. The next thing I suggested she do was move. Go take a walk. Do yoga. Exercise. But do something. Change. In order to change your state, you have to change your physiology. So do it. 6, believe in something higher than yourself. And 7, get your tribe together. Find out who's going to take you to doctor's appointments, who's going to check up on you, who's going to bring you food, who's going to help you with groceries, because you're going to need help. And in that moment, I couldn't believe it, that I was just spewing these 7 things. It just came random to me. But this was how I was living. These were the principles I was living by. And when she thanked me again, my heart lit up. It just opened. And in that moment, I said, I'm going to be a cancer coach. And I had no idea what that meant. And so I look. Like, who said that? I'm in an apartment all by myself. And those words were not mine. Those words were spirit, source. Whatever that is for you, but it was source. And for me, that was Mother God, Father God, my archangels, my ancestors. A few days later, I'm mulling the words that just came out of my mouth. And so my mind says, you're not a coach. What do you know about being a coach? And as the heart, I say, what do you mean I don't know about being a coach? I live in a Puerto Rican family. I've been taking care of everyone my entire life. I'm the oldest, so I've been deferring to my elders, taking care of my siblings. I work in finance. I'm a seasoned professional. I'm an administrative manager in finance at one of the top five companies. I manage people all day long. I coach them all day long to get the job done. And then my ego goes, oh, no, no, no. We're not going to be a coach. We're not going to be poor. We like the house we lived in. We want to go back to that. We want to go back to finance. We want to go back to the two cars and the lifestyle that it afforded. We want to send our kids to college. My mind and ego had the idea that if we became a coach, we were going to be poor again, like the way we were in the South Bronx of New York City. And in that moment, I decided, we're going to do this. We're going to live differently. Because for 55 years, we've been doing it your way. But if I'm going to live for another 55 years, we're going to do it my way. The heart is going to lead. And it took 2 years to get my mind and ego on board. But within that time, spirit made sure that I got a full scholarship, a full scholarship to get two certifications, nutrition and a cancer coaching. And it was at that time where I birthed my program. The three pillars of nutrition: mental tools, resources, modalities like journaling, breathwork, mindfulness, health, just being. I didn't know how to be. I was an overachiever. I was more comfortable being than doing. Physical. Upgrading that nutrition. Eating more whole foods. Getting rid of all that processed food. Learning how to read an ingredients listing. Hell, practicing how to advocate for myself so that I can partner with my doctors, because this was my health. And I've exercised my entire life. So that part came easy because I process things with movement. But connecting to spirit, that was not easy for me. But I was getting there because remember, spirit was the one that said those words that came out of my mouth that I was going to be a cancer coach. So now I get to help others. And it's been the best thing I've ever done. You know, I'm reminded how Nipsey Hussle reminds us that the marathon continues. Doesn't matter what's happening externally. It's our perspective. Some days are going to be hard. But we're going to ebb and flow. We're not going to grind. We're going to ebb and flow. And even though fear got the best of me at times, I always go back to what Nightbird said. I love her quote. You don't have to wait for life to be hard, to not be hard anymore, to be happy. Because even in the toughest miles, you can claim your joy now. And that always sticks with me when life gets hard. I love to do something, a guided meditation or a visualization. I want to invite you into something really tender. A moment where I stopped pushing through and I started breathing through. And not because everything was fixed, but because I finally made space for that. So take a moment with me. I invite you. Put one hand on your heart. And do it again. This is just a great way to just be. Remove the chaos. And if you like, keep your eyes closed. Picture yourself a year from. It's not perfect. You may not be healed. But if you're alive, you're steady and you're clear and you're not living by fear, but by design. In those moments, it's where you can let go. So what did you let go of to become this version of you? What did you finally say yes to? Because that version already exists. You just met them. So I invite you to keep walking towards them. Because you know, the hardest part of this journey wasn't the chemo. It wasn't the hair loss, even though I love my hair. It wasn't moving. It wasn't starting over. It was making my heart the leader. It was learning from my trauma, my past, my old beliefs, because they were trying to protect me from healing. When I stopped doing healing and I started being in it, this came to me. I'm going to read you a poem that I wrote. I am at the tail end of my forgiveness tour, forgiving me. I accept myself and what I participated in. I said what I said and I did what I did. And at that level of consciousness, I did not know better. Now I understand more of my truth. I am a different me. I am bigger in my consciousness and in my heart, and I will no longer hold myself hostage.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.